Shalom and welcome to Tehillim Yomi. Today we learn this morning Nun Gimel, Psalm 53. This psalm, as I mentioned before, is almost word for word repetition of Psalm 14. I'm therefore bringing my analysis of Psalm 14 in somewhat of a chazara, a repeat of what was already said, but some, as we'll see, is a little bit different. L'mnatzeach ha'machalat maskila David, amar naval b'libo, ein Elohim, hishchitu v'itivu, Avel, ein osetov. Elohim mishamay mishkif al bnei adam lirot hayesh maskil doreshet Elohim. Kulo sag yachtav ne'alachu, ein osetov, ein gam echad. Halo yadu po le'aven, och le'ami, achlu lechem Elohim lo karau. Sham pachadu pachad, lo haya pachad. Ki Elohim pizar atzamot chonach. Hevashta ki Elohim ma'asam. Mi yitem et zion yishuot Yisrael. To the chief musician, according to Machalat, a maskil of David, the naval, the fool, said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt and have done abominable iniquity. There is none that does good. God looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any who understand, who seek God. They've all fallen away. They've become filthy. There is no one who does good, not even one. Have the knowledge? Have the evildoers no knowledge? Those who eat up my people as they eat bread, do they not call upon God? There were they in great fear, where no fear was. Pachadu pachad. For God has scattered the bones of him who encamps against you. You have put them to shame because God has rejected them. Oh, that the salvation of Israel will come out of Zion when God brings back the exile of his people. Jacob shall rejoice, Israel shall be glad. Amos Chacham divides the psalm into a description of the corruption of the Naval, verses 2 to 4, and the second section, which rebukes the evildoers, with the concluding verse, praising and praying for salvation. Verse 1, as the psalm is speaking in the voice of Naval, Naval said, there is no God. Who is he? Perhaps it is not a he, but an it. While there existed an incorrigible and foolish personality called Naval in David's lifetime, see 1 Samuel chapter 25, many commentaries understood the usage of this name as a symbol for the quintessential Rasha. Interestingly, the text seems to bounce back and forth in describing the many versus the one individual in the evil. Verse 1 starts with the plural, they are corrupt and acted abominably, but ends on the singular, there is no doer of good, says Hirsch. In response, God looks down from the heavens onto the sons of man. Hishkif al bnei Adam. But then it resumes on the singular, no doer of good, oset tov, not even one. Oset tov, ein gam echad. Verse 4. Once again, reverts to all who should have known and who did not call out to God. Their punishment is an intense fear and the realization that God is indeed in the camp of the righteous. There's a blurring of the one and the many, perhaps to teach us that when we remain anonymous and don't fight against tyranny, we silently become part of the evil majority. Naval says that there is no God, and they, perhaps those who follow him, have corrupted, engaged in abominations. Nobody does good. God in verse 2 corroborates. God in verse 3 corroborates with this notion that evil has permeated when he looks down from the heaven on mankind to see if anyone seeks him. And yet, no good, ein oseh tov. The section begins, the second section begins in verse 5 when the psalmist rebukes the evildoers. Halo yadu po le'aven, och le'ami, achlu lechem Elohim lo karau, sham pachadu pachad. Those evil ones who consume my nation like bread, they don't call out to God. The Jews, were in great fear, where no fear was. There's no reason for them to be in such fear, for God scattered the bones. Amos Chacham explains that these wicked people should understand the repercussions of their actions. Other evil people who oppressed my nation, in God's name they did not call, and God will ultimately seek retribution on them. Verse 6 continues saying there, God's nation feared greatly, but in the end, there was no need for such fear, since God protected them and fought their enemies. God scattered their armies, embarrassed for them, for God despised them. Verse 6 is the only major difference between Psalm 14 and 53. In both, the psalmist speaks of pachadu pachad, but while in 14 it says God is in the generation of the righteous, in 53, God scatters the enemies, of the armies of the enemy. In 14, he says to the wicked, your devious advice you give to the poor person will be rejected, causing you shame. While in 53, the focus is on God causing them embarrassment. Chacham notes that in the meta theme of the psalm, there's no major difference. In the specific focus of God's wrath in response, the psalms do differ. Malbim suggests that Psalm 14 was penned by David immediately after an event in which he encountered such evil people and therefore inspired to write the psalm. 53, however, was written about the destruction of Sanherib several hundred years later, to which the people of that generation adopted the Davidic psalm and applied it to their situation, though changing it a bit. The change is significant in this regard because it focuses on the scattering of the encamped army, which is a direct reference to the fall of Sennacherib's army in Jerusalem on one night, which embarrassed the king and sent him home, unable to beat Hizkiyahu. It's interesting to note that Malbim was comfortable saying that the psalm with the title Lid David was repurposed for the generation of Hizkiyahu, using the Davidic words to apply to a new threat but with similar themes. This perhaps is a guiding principle for us as to how to understand the authorship of Psalms and the willingness to use David's words throughout generations. The concluding verse is most interesting. Usually a final call to God for salvation is clearly delineated. Usually it starts with God's name and is a direct call for him to intervene. Verse 7, however, is unusual. Mi yitain mitzion yeshuot Yisrael b'shuv Elohim shvut amo yagel Yaakov yisbach Yisrael. I wish that the salvation of Israel shall arrive from Zion when God returns his nation to their once assumed status. Jacob will regale, Israel will rejoice. Does the psalmist hint at a time when even the righteous does not call out to God directly? This reminds us of the earlier section when it seemed that the honest and good people were silent in standing up to the Nabal. In such a time, all that is left to do is wish, mi yitain. Let us hope a time will come when salvation will come from Zion, when God will return the exiled nation, when Jacob will rejoice, and Israel will finally be happy.